Welcome to Spectrum, a daily public affairs presentation of WCSM. And now, here's Spectrum, the talk of Mercer and Auglaize counties.
And we thank you so much for joining us for Spectrum today. We've got Salinas Law Director George Moore on the program. And George, first of all, thanks a lot for joining us. We got something to talk about. We booked the show some time ago, and we're going to kind of switch gears on what we originally were thinking of doing. And we wanted to talk about Salinas 0.5% income tax. That was very prominent in Monday night's meeting. We heard from a member of the police department expressing concern about hiring freezes, and others saying, can you use this 0.5% to help out with salaries so that there doesn't have to be a hiring freeze? And as the meeting wore on, we started to hear your legal opinion on whether or not that's something that can be done, with that 0.5% tax. So I wanted to give you a chance to expand on that a little bit.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. It's always nice to come on the show, and this is certainly a very timely topic to shift over to, so I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I thought it might be best to kind of go through the history of the 0.5% additional income tax in Salina, and I think it's a good analogy to think of the 0.5% sort of like your health savings account, so your HSA. You kind of get so many dollars that are, like basically the employer who's, paying you the money, a certain percentage of that is going into that HSA account, and that is able to be used tax-free for specified purposes, okay? And as long as you're using it for that, you can do that. You're only limited by, I guess, what that language is. And according to Ohio law, when it comes to spending any type of tax dollars, it has to be for an approved, like a specified delineated purpose. Okay. And I'll just keep that in mind kind of as we're going through these here. But there's been three separate passages of the 0.5%. The first, okay, and that was passed in 2010. It became effective, and all these have been passed for 7-year durations. So the one passed in 2010 becomes effective on January 1 of 2011, and it was set to expire at the end of 2017. Okay, and at that time, it said that it was to provide funds for the operational expenses, capital equipment purchases, and capital improvements in support of the city's safety departments of fire and police to be collected for 7 years, 2011 through 2017. And that was put on the ballot in the fall of 2010, and in the city of Salina, that was approved by a majority of the voters. And so, I talked about that, specified that delineated purpose here, and so it can only be used, to provide fundings for operational expenses, capital equipment purchases, and capital improvements in support of the fire department and the police department. So, in 2015, we're going on to we'll call it the first renewal. This is the second one that has passed here now. In 2015, there was two amendments made to the then existing additional 0.5%, and that was to amend the purpose and to amend the duration. The purpose, it says in this is ordinance 61-15-0, and this says, under Section 1, that the purpose of this ordinance is to both, 1, amend the purpose, and 2, amend the duration of the then-existing 0.5%, which currently provides, and I quote, which currently provides the city authority to use these funds for the purposes of operational expenses in support of the city's safety departments of fire and police, and for capital equipment purchases and capital improvements in support of the city's safety departments of fire and police. That's our existing language at the time. And then we put in here, quote, be amended to also provide the city the authority to use these funds for the additional purposes of making public right-of-way improvements to city streets, curbs, sidewalks, alleys, and for items and materials which are incidental and related to any such public right-of-way improvement within the city. And then the second half of it is to amend the duration, because, again, it was set to expire at the end of 2017. In the fall of 15, voters were asked not just to amend to basically add streets, curbs, sidewalks, and alleys, but to also extend it out for 7 years, beginning in 2016, to expire at the end of 2022. That passed. Now, we are operating under the second renewal, which is the third piece of past legislation. And that piece of legislation, which was renewed in the fall of 2022, amended only the duration of the tax. So now, since it passed, it is being collected 2023 through December 31 of 2029. It is set to expire at that time.
All right, and so that people understand that some of the changes that were made, it was only police and fire to begin with, and then eventually streets and, you know, sidewalks, I believe, also got added to it. At the time, I remember the, you know, the police and fire were okay with that. That was a way to kind of get a street program going in Salina to fix local streets that you, let's face it, you never can get state funds for projects like that. And so that's what we have, and now the question has become, okay, but well, can this be used for, you know, paying salaries? In other words, is this a way that you could use these funds to bring in additional personnel?
Correct. If you go back and look at some of the minutes from around the time of the 2015, I'll call it the first renewal, there was mention made that it's, you know, it's important to make sure that we fund fire and police, but there's also a severe concern for the condition of the city streets. And I think it might have been Councilman Savinsky at the time made a comment that we're 30 years behind in having a street funding and ongoing paving type of program. And, you know, at the time, like, the city streets were in very poor condition in a lot of places here. And so there was, I guess, an additional commitment for that at the time. And so now, fast forward to present, one of the, if not the biggest question that we are continuously asked, and we certainly welcome everybody's questions and their input and their, you know, like, this is all about transparency, you know, but the question is coming up. It talks about going back to the original measure, which, of all the current elected officials of the city of Salina that are, you know, in the, that are still in their positions, it's our council president and one council member only. You know, so, like, I took over as law director in January of 12. This legislation would have been written in 2010. And it says that it's to provide funds for the operational expenses. So operational expenses is this key phrase, or you might hear me call it operating expenses, but, it, you know, same concept. And so in looking at, you know, a term and in trying to answer a question, I think you first look at what does the actual legislation say? And this is with, you know, whether the city council comes up with an ordinance or whether Congress comes up with some law, or whether it's a, you know, like a ballot initiative type of thing like this here, you know. And so the voters decided in 2010 to provide funds for operational expenses, etc. And that term's not defined in there. If it was, then, I mean, generally in interpreting legislation, you're pretty much done with trying to ascertain what the meaning of that is, unless, you know, I mean, there's always an argument to the contrary, I suppose, but generally, like, you know, if the plain language tells you whatever your answer is, you probably don't need to consult any other source for it. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say whether operational expenses include wages or payroll, if you will. And so, you know, since this, and we also have Brooke Shin as our current city auditor. She's the third city auditor now to, I guess, have been in her office over the duration here of the various additional half percents here. And, you know, she's doing a great job with everything, but she's also trying to, you know, she's having to go back and kind of piece things together that she didn't create under an old, maybe two systems back now, you know, because departments upgrade their systems, what they use for software or, you know, or whatever. So I know it's at least one system old, but I think she's doing a great job trying to, you know, answer people's questions here. So can it be used for payroll? And since it doesn't say, you know, in consulting with our city auditor here, I've asked, you know, for accounting definitions. And what we understand is that most, but not all, definitions that, you know, are in the accounting industry will say that, yes, payroll is an operational expense. Most, but not all. So if, you know, for example, if it's 100% crystal clear that, look, that's what the industry standard, you know, is for something, I think that's one thing. But if most but not all definitions say that, I think you leave, you know, some potential exposure out there for, you know, is there some type of claim that it may not be what was intended when it was passed? And it's a lot easier if you're dealing with a legislative body. So, for example, if city council, and they can't do this by statute, but if city council passed this ordinance here, well, they could just pass another ordinance that says, to clarify, in, you know, name the ordinance, this is what this definition means. And I think that would answer the question. But I don't think that the city council has the legal authority or the legal ability to declare the intent of what the voters voted on at the ballot.
Yeah, in other words, you know, it's disturbing to think a legislative body can say to the voters, we appreciate your yes vote, we're going to change what that meant. I think most people would agree that that's not good.
It doesn't seem right that, you know, and then so I've opined on that. I don't think it's really legal or even, you know, close to the right thing to do. And so, you know, kind of the, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we're without options, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, hear about that too. I know, again, some of the legal concerns, well, let's get to some of those options. What are some ways that it possibly could be used to pay wages?
Well, what I will term as the gold standard, that's getting a clarification of what does this term mean. And I think, again, the equivalent of city council passing a new ordinance for something that to clarify that they have passed would be to place the matter on the ballot with some language clarifying, you know, defining, etc., laying out. I mean, you know, there's certainly options when it comes to, you know, adding an additional portion of a percentage tax on to a municipality. But if I also realize that, you know, this is it's a more pressing issue than going through the very lengthy and cumbersome, difficult process of getting something. And we can do it, but, I mean, the next election coming up, you know, it would be like a primary time in the spring. I don't know if it's March or May offhand, but, like, that's not quick enough. And so I think we need to keep an eye on this, like, gold standard here. But in the meantime, I can tell you that the city auditor and I are working in very close connection with, you know, the contacts at the state auditor's office and, you know, certainly acting within the bounds of the law, but we're trying to come up with any way that we can, you know, to help in a short term alleviate this here. And I don't know if you'd pause for a break here or not. We've been going on for quite some time, but.
Well, and I wanted to add, too, before we go to break, another legal concern would be tying your wage to a non-permanent tax. In other words, we are hiring you, but the money we're using to pay you, well, that actually could go away in a couple of years if it's not renewed. Not a good recruiting tool anyways.
I do want to point out there are a couple other solutions here, sure. You know, but with regards to that, yes, I mean, so as the city law director, my client is the city of Salina itself, the municipal corporation that is the city. And, you know, my job is to make sure that we're doing everything in accordance with the law and above board. And if, like there's a lot of concerns, you know, if we were to just start paying wages, payroll out of the additional 0.5%, maybe without some clarification, like there is the possibility, you know, if somebody feels we're not, you know, spending it in accordance with that specific delineated purpose, you know, I mean, there's remedies that they can pursue, and that may make it incredibly more difficult for the city to, you know, go about its business and its goals. But again, I think there's some interim options coming up, you know, that we can look at in the meantime. But to answer your question, yes, I think if we are going to tie wages into a non-permanent tax, I think that we need to basically contractually agree with whoever, you know, might be subject to this, that if that tax is not renewed, then this is kind of the, we'll say, the worst case scenario, or these are the possible routes to go to, and that just makes sure that everybody knows, you know, what the rules are, and nobody says we you know, lied or hit anything or did anything wrong, because we're certainly not trying to.
No question. George, we're going to take a break and then come back and talk about another issue that came up recently as we continue with George Moore on Spectrum.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
We all know just because gifts for loved ones can look like flowers, a spa day, or maybe even planning date night. But what about something that will truly last and protect your loved ones along the way? I'm talking about life insurance. I called SelectQuote to secure our coverage and couldn't believe how easy and affordable it was. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. And with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. With monthly payments less than the cost of a bouquet of flowers, this is the perfect time to make sure your family is protected.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-596-2626 or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-596-2626. 1-800-596-2626.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Back with George Moore, Salina City Law Director, talking about the 0.5% income tax for Salina and whether or not it can be used, you know, for personnel, for police and fire. And George, you wanted to also talk about transferring of funds.
Right. Like I was saying before the break, there's the gold standard, if you will, and that's taking the 0.5% back to the voters, because they're the ones that approve this here, and that would be, you know, them answering in definitional form, does operational expenses include payroll? I would probably suggest adding including but not limited to payroll of, you know, fire and police. But that's not a quick enough solution here, you know, and so that being said, the city auditor and I, we are working with the state auditor to see if something, here's what we're looking into. The voters have approved, and I'll use streets as a shorthand for streets, you know, alleys, the sidewalks, etc. So streets, police, and fire. And my question that I, you know, that we're looking into here is, can you take a portion of the 0.5% funds that have been allocated to the streets, and can you then reallocate somehow that 0.5% raised fund that was being allocated to streets over to police and fire? That's a question that we're looking into. In the meantime, it's always acceptable for a city council, you know, to pass a supplemental ordinance that involves the general fund. That's the 1%. So right now we've been talking about this additional 0.5%. That's on top of the 1% tax, you know, that's the base tax. And out of that base tax, as long as it's, you know, there's already a well delineated list, and I guess, you know, council routinely, you know, will file a half, you know, we'll pass a half dozen or so of these a year, that it changes the allocation of funds in the 1%. They could move money from one department to any other. That would include the legal department. You know, that would include any department. I do know there has been some 1% general fund allocations made to streets. That's something that was actually just brought up to me this morning here. And I mean, yes, that could, you know, just by legislative act by the city council, it's not a long-term solution by any means, I wouldn't think, you know, but again, it is a legal option and we have to weigh our options.
So perhaps something could be done short-term to get the funding and then go to the voters as soon as you can and make a change. Might be the more permanent solution.
I think so. And, you know, also, you know, there's other, I guess, so we've made a modification to the purpose at one point. You know, I mean, there's options with language when it comes to things like this. I mean, there's been some discussion, you know, if we go back, would we extend it further out? You know, that would be a possibility as well. You know, there's multiple options. We're running short on time, I see, but.
Yeah, not a problem. Well, George, there's a lot of options. We'll keep an eye on it, you know, yeah, and continue to talk about it. Very big issue, certainly, you know.
And please feel free to reach out. Like, I'm here because I fully believe in transparency, and I feel that I can, even though I wasn't here as, you know, in the law director position when this was first passed by the voters in 2010, I've dived into it. I've analyzed the language. I drafted the language that the Board of Elections approved for the two renewals. And, you know, so we've taken this very seriously. We take it very seriously, and we are an open book. We welcome your questions, your requests for documents and records of the public's records. They are your records.
They are. George, I want to again thank you for coming on, and I don't know about you. Have you had lunch yet?
I have not.
You know what sounds good to me? 4 fried chickens and
a
Coke.
And
sounds
dry white toast, please.
You got that right. Jake and Owen. Thanks, George. Good to see you.
Thanks so much.